This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. So, hi, I'm David, and I'm married to Alison, and we're the senior pastors here, and you're very welcome if this is your first time. Great to see you, and if it's not, nice to see you again. We enter an important month. At one level, it's important because it's our theme is pies. Yeah, a bit more? Yeah, pies. And in particular, in 2 weeks' time, we have Pie Chart Sunday. Yeah. And we celebrate by eating pies when we all gather together for lunch afterwards in the hall. So if you... it's twisted. If you're... if you like pies, if you don't like pies, I'm sure there'll be alternatives. But if you like pies and you want to contribute a pie, where's Rachel? Rachel's there. She's in charge of pies and catering and basically getting us fed. So let her know what you want to bring or ask her advice about what you might want to contribute in the way of pies. It's a theological necessity to have pies involved in the daily life of the Leeds Vineyard, particularly in May. Now, this is going to be an exciting month. An exciting 5 or 6 weeks. It's going to be a very exciting period. It's going to be one of the most significant periods in the life of the Leeds Vineyard for many, many years. And it's going to set the tone for what God's going to do through us and with us for the next 50, 100 years, well beyond when many of us have come and gone. And it involves the fact that last Sunday evening, those of you who are here, I explained that we were about to buy a building. I've been saying this for a while, and finally I was able to say which building and where. And I showed you a video of it, those of you who are here. If you haven't got in on the loop on that yet, I'm really sorry. I will be giving you some more information in the coming weeks, but somebody sitting near you will know about it and will tell you. Just ask around. The one thing I do ask is that you don't gossip it outside of the congregation, because this building is not on the market publicly, and if our friends from the unmentioned developers across the road find out that this is available, they'll be all over it, and we'll be in severe competition, and we don't want that, do we? No. Great. So this week, in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about how do we get our finances sorted so that we can make a contribution towards this and get involved in this enormous, not enormous in the sense of it's too big, but in exciting, wonderful, beautiful opportunity to partake in something that God's going to do of an amazing nature in Headingley. And we're going to talk about that over the coming weeks. I'm going to gather the leaders together for a one-off in a couple of weeks' time. You'll get a notice about that. You may need to suspend your small group or get somebody else to run it for you for that week. And we're going to explain exactly what this is about and the vision for it. And then on the 4th of June, so about a month's time, is that right? Yeah. We're going to have a service in the morning and in the evening. And in the morning, I'll show you the video of the building, and we'll explain the story, and we'll cast a vision for what we think God wants us to do. And it'll be the opportunity. I'll be making the big ask for you to give you an opportunity to give or to pledge, and to find areas in which you can serve and get involved in this this project. That'll be in the morning. In the evening, we'll repeat some of that, but it'll be mainly in the evening about praying and worshiping together as we address this this challenge. So please book that Sunday. If you can get to both services, it'd be great, but certainly get to one of them. Book your babysitters, plan your time so that you can be there. We'll cut down the worship time a little bit. We'll expand the kids' time on their own a bit so that we can really cover this subject in some depth. And then over the following week, we'll repeat a little bit of it, but that'll be the Sunday we're going to do the baptisms, which is going to be super exciting. And then about 3 weeks later, we will gather together everything that people have given and pledged, and we'll say, right, this is what the Lord's given to us, now what we're going to do. Okay? It's going to be a really exciting couple of months, and I'd love you to get involved as much as you possibly can. That's the program. So today, I want to kickstart that sort of theme and make sure I'm involving pies by talking about a slice of the pie. I'm the eldest of five, And I've got two parents, as have most of you. And that's a biological requirement. And so if you look at our family, how many are we serving at an average meal? It's not difficult. 5 plus 2, 7. 7 is the number you're looking for. And my mother got extremely good at serving up a meal and carving it into 7. I don't know if you've tried carving, slicing up a pie into 7. It's a challenge, depending on how good your trigonometry is. And she was amazing at it. She just got really good at carving it up. It helped a bit when Alison came along and made it 8. But until then, it was 7. And I remember once when I was a young teenager arguing with my brothers, as we often did, kids do, and Mark and I were arguing about who had the most chips. And eventually my mother said, okay, that's enough. And with the wisdom of Solomon and the restraint of Mother Teresa, she decided to count them. So she counted the chips on both plates. And they were exactly the same. Amazing. So we stepped back. And then, emboldened by that experience, she decided to count the peas. And you guessed it. Exactly the same number of peas. We never argued about it again. Okay, Mother had that sorted. She could divide anything up into 7. Amazing. So we're going to think about how we slice up the pie. That's our theme for today. And next week I'm going to talk a bit more about it in the sense of what happens when we do slice up the pie in the way I'm going to talk about today. I'll talk about the results next week. And I'm thinking of the pie as everything that God has given you financially. Your income, your savings, your possessions, your house, whatever. Everything that God has given you, think of it as a pie. And I want to explore what happens and how we think through carving up the pie and where generosity fits in that. Because we've all been given this pie and we all eat it and we all parcel it out. And I just want to review that a bit. So I'm going to do that with some help. Dave and Jacob and Bob, Rachel, Annette, Thomas, and Anthony, would you like to come up and help me? They're going to stand up here. Can you two move this just down there without... Yeah, excellent. Thank you. Well done. So come and stand up here in the preordained order. And you need to grab a plate. Remember the plate? I rehearsed you. Plate, plate. Each of you grab a plate. Just can't get the actors these days. So how do we carve up our pie? Thank you, Bob. Here's a pie. It's a Bramley apple pie. It's quite a nice one. Thank you, Bob. And we're going to slice it up and share it out. So, first of all, the first slice in our pie usually is the place we live in, isn't it? It's our house, either our rent or our mortgage. It makes up most of a really big chunk of what we pay. Now, Dave here is into building. He lectures in building, and he's a civil engineer, and he builds things. And he's going to represent our contribution towards our housing. So here we go. There's a nice, big, fat slice of pie for the mortgage or the rent. Some of you have got have done an extension, and you've got a second mortgage. So it's a bit of a mess, but then so are second mortgages. So there we go. And then the other thing that we probably put more money into, actually, over the course of time, is contributing to our pension and to our savings, and so that one day we can retire. Behold, a retiree, okay? He and his wife, okay, have been saving through their pension schemes, and no doubt in other ways, and they're now living off their pension. And that's a nice chunk. That's a reasonable chunk. How much should we put into our savings? Because there is a sort of... A school of thought that you should trust God for everything. Okay, you don't need to save. Just trust God. He'll provide everything. And I'm not so sure about that. If you read Proverbs 6, I've forgotten. You're extra lucky. Not only do you get them to watch them getting pie, you get a handout this week again. my handouts assistants quickly. Let's get the handouts spread around. These have got these verses on, so they're not going up on the screen. You can take them home and reflect on them. So Proverbs 6 says this. It's one of my favorite verses. Go to the ant, you sluggard. I just love that phrase. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, and yet it stores its provisions in the summer, and it gathers its food at harvest. So the ant is preparing for the winter by saving up. I don't think it's wise to hoard. By hoarding, I mean putting money aside just because it makes you feel safe. You accumulate some wealth because it gives you some identity and safety. By saving, I mean you've got a particular God-given purpose, whether it's to retire or pay off your mortgage or invest in a business or whatever it is, and or educate your children, and you're saving towards something. That, I think, is a godly thing and a wise thing to do. Bob has been doing that, and he's been putting some money into it. Now, another area that we spend some money on, it should be, yes it is Jacob's area of passion. He likes cars. And we, most of us in the room have, not everybody, but most of us have got a car. Some of us have got two cars. And some of us have got three cars. And cars take up quite a chunk, don't they? One way or another, even with those personal loan things that you can get. So Jacob is studying mechanical engineering, but he wants to design cars. That's what he wants to do. That's what I think he's going to do. So he's going to represent cars. There you get a nice big chunk for your cars. Enjoy that. Now, Rachel, the aforementioned Rachel, we introduced her before, likes food. And she, by the way, on cars, don't get me wrong, it's not a bad thing to have more one car or three cars. And if the Lord gives you a Jaguar, enjoy it. Insure it for me to drive as well, but enjoy it, okay? It's not a bad thing to have a car, it's just what you do with it and recognizing that God gave it to you. Rachel represents food and looking after ourselves with drink and food and our provisions, our groceries, if you like, and looking, some of you got a slightly bigger grocery budget than others, I think. Anyway, we spend quite a lot of money, don't we? And we eat out. We eat out, and some of us eat out really well, and some of us just get Chinese takeaways, which is what we had last night. And there you go. That's the budget we spend on feeding ourselves and feeding our children and making those sorts of provisions. And that's a good thing to do as well. You have to live off something. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, anyone who does not provide for his own, for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It's important to look after those who God has given you to care for. Then we've got to, this is Annette. Yes, Annette represents scuba diving, which is, what we all give. We all have a slice in our budget for... No, we don't. We have slices in our budget for our hobbies and things we enjoy. Annette loves scuba diving, and she's got all sorts of scuba diving stuff. Some of you like bicycling, and you've got bikes and expensive bikes. And some of you like sport, and you've got season tickets at Elland Road. Not many, I suspect. Maybe Headingley. But we spend money on our hobbies and those things that we love to spend time on, yeah, and our relaxation and we, some of us maybe even be members of golf clubs, and we invest quite a chunk there. And I think the last thing that we sort of tend to give a lot of thought to is education. And it's our education, but also educating our kids and student loans and university fees and things like that. And Tom works for the university. He looks after some 35,000 students, something like that. And he represents education, okay? And our sort of preoccupation with spending some money on making sure our kids get to decent university or retraining ourselves and all that sort of thing. It's an important part of it. And so we're going to give him a decent chunk of apple pie. Okay, thank you for educating our kids. Very good. So that's how we slice up our pie. And we have to think through the priorities, don't we, and who, what we're going to give most to. And if we spend too much on the house, we're not going to have enough for our scuba diving, and so on, and our going on holidays and so. Oh, who are you?
I'm God.
God. Oh, right. Okay. It's expensive, all this, you know, life. It's just difficult to find somewhere to live and to feed. And to, so, I mean, yeah, okay. It's a bit like that sometimes. By the way, who brought the pie?
I did.
Ah. Ah. Generosity is one of the main areas in which we wrestle with our faith. It's in this zone where we find out whether we really trust God to provide for us. If we're willing to live obediently and sacrificially, and whether we do honor and worship Him with all of our lives. Thank you, guys. You can go. Can I have that plate? Well, a round of applause for my pie eaters. Why don't we pray? I haven't started yet, by the way. That was just an introduction. Thank you. Lord Jesus, help us to understand this. Help us to understand that you've given us everything. And you've brought the pie. And help us to be good at using what you've given us. I thank you for everything you've given us individually. I thank you for the gifts that come to this church week in, week out, month in, month out, that enable us to do what you've called us to do. It's wonderful generosity, and I thank you for that, and we offer it to you as part of our worship. I ask you to help us understand this better as we talk about it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I ask, where did the pie come from? Where does everything come from? There's a great story in the Old Testament where King David is raising funds to build the temple. And he starts out by giving really generously of his own money and his own gold and silver. And then he encourages the leaders of the people to come together and bring their gifts, and the people too to contribute. And eventually he says, whoa, we've got enough. And he has this amazing prayer in 1 Chronicles 29. And in verse 14 he says this, "But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and of your own do we give you. We have only given you what comes from your hand." It's all his. He brought the pie. He gives you the pie. Sometimes our reaction is, it's my pie. I earned it. I went to college and got a degree. I've worked hard. The payslip says my name on it. It's my pie. Deuteronomy 8 says this in verse 17 and 18. "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." It is he who gives you the ability. Everything we have, the ability to earn money, has been given by him, never mind the money itself. It's his pie. He imagined it. He got the ingredients together. He baked it, and then he decided to give it to you. As I said, my mum was particularly gifted at this, and she could slice up the pie and make sure we had right amount at the end for everybody. And we often realize that there is this person, this someone, this God that we want to leave a slice of pie for at the end, but there doesn't seem to be much left. And he gets the crumbs, poor Anthony. I asked Anthony because I thought he was the closest thing we had to looking like God. He had a beard for a start. We tend to find that there is often more month than there is money. You know what I mean? I found that this month I got caught out. And when was the end of the month? It was a week last Friday, wasn't it? I ran out on Thursday. The Bible tells us, and so then we end up with the crumbs going to God. And the Bible tells us, it's very clear how to sort this out. There's a very clear financial planning instruction given in the Bible about this. It says we are to give the giver the first slice. The first slice. So when we start to carve up the pie, before we start thinking about all those things, we have this conversation with God about giving him the first slice. And then we can ensure that we haven't missed out that most important share. When the Bible's written, it was an agricultural setting. So they grew crops and they farmed sheep and cattle. And the way that they thought about giving was to take what they called the first fruit. It was the first tenth of the crops, the first tenth of the animals that went through the sheep dip or the goat dip. And they gave those to the temple. And that was part of their giving. And it was the first fruits. It was the best. They were the sheep without anything wrong with them. And it was the best wheat, whatever it was. They gave that first part. Proverbs 3, verse 9 said this: honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. They took the best, and they brought it to the church, the temple. And there, what they did with it was they spent it on the poor, looking after the aliens and the poor in the country. They spent it on the mission of the church and the people who worked for it. And they spent it on worship and celebration. And they ate the pie, they ate the sacrifice together as they worshipped and celebrated. Our equivalent isn't quite as picturesque because we tend to handle in cash, or actually not even in cash, on internet-based banking. So what I would encourage you to do is to at least once a year sit down with your spouse if you're married and think about your pie. And think about what constitutes your first fruits, your first tenth of what it is that you want to recognize. And you have to set up the infrastructure. You have to reorganize your life and your spending and your finances in order to make it happen. It doesn't just easy to happen. I find that the main thing that stops people being generous is actually not their heart. They want to be generous. It's just getting it organized. And so I don't want to talk about that now, but if you want to talk to Anne or to me or to one of the staff, we'll help you understand how to make that work. And it's a bit like, if you go to somebody's house for dinner or for a party, you take a bottle of wine or a bunch of flowers or a box of chocolate. You do, don't you? Don't you? If you ever come to our place. No, I'm just kidding. You take a bottle of wine, don't you? Now, when you walk in, they would just want you to come for dinner. And they've got food on the table and they've already got the bottle of wine opened or whatever it is, the juice or whatever it is they're drinking. Your wine isn't necessary. It isn't a contract. It's just you saying, thank you for having us. Isn't it? It's a bit like that. Our giving him the first fruits is like us saying, thank you. Thank you for giving this to us. Here's our gift back to you as a way of saying thank you. So saying, Lord, I want to honor you as the giver. I want to worship you as the God who is generous. And so I will give you the first fruits before I decide how to spend the rest. Now, we talk a lot about the tithe, which in the biblical parlance is 10%, which has a certain significance. I wouldn't get hung up on that. I would have your conversation with God and decide what that is. It could well be a lot more than that. Occasionally, it's less than that. What's important is that you go to God and decide with him what the first slice is going to be. And just recently, we've had a really encouraging stream of people giving for the first time as you've joined the Vineyard here and started to give. And that's really exciting to see. And I wanted to say thank you. Whether it's a very small amount or a very large amount, I love it. I love to see it because it tells me that people are organizing their lives to honor God with the first fruit. That's what it tells me. It tells me that people are grappling with their faith and their discipleship, and it's most encouraging. And let me be honest with you. I'm always honest with you. But let me be specifically honest with you, is that if you're not in that place of giving him the first slice of the pie, this is the discipleship gateway. This is the thing that gets you on the road to following Jesus. It's the way that it's one of the primary tests of how we trust him and follow him. And reorganizing your life to make it happen transforms your discipleship. I promise you. Life is different when you get this sorted. When we trust him with our salvation, are we going to trust him with the pie? When we recognize the giver, when we turn to him in thanks and worship for what he has done, it's only natural to honor him with that first fruit. And this is the thing, God is so generous. He gives us such an amazing pie. And more than that, when we give him that first slice, it's amazing how the rest of the pie goes so much further. I think I would class that as a miracle in my experience. As we've given the first 10% or more than that in our general giving, the remainder seems to go further. There are times when it's really tough, and there are times when it's much better. But Alice and I look back every now and then and say, how did that happen? How did we end up, you know, with a car, with the house, with the food, whatever it is? How did we end up having that holiday? And I think God honors it when you go first. If you haven't already done this, try it. It's his promise. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says God. I'm not sure you should test God, actually. I think you should just do it. I think it's your dangerous territory testing God. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Now, do you believe him or do you not? And if that's what he does with a tenth, imagine what he does if you give more. He loves you and he wants to bless you, and you can trust him to look after you. And I encourage you to believe him and believe his promises to you. As I said, generosity is one of the main areas in which we wrestle with God, where we go through this, well, am I going to be okay, but it's mine and I feel safe with it, and if I give it to them, what will they do with it? You know, when we go through all that thing of trusting God with it, that's where we find out if we really do trust him and if we're really willing to be obedient. Some people say to me, my faith seems so shallow and I want more depth to my faith and stuff. They want to trust Jesus more. You want to know the power of the Holy Spirit more and more in your life. Well, there's no better way of getting into that zone and that purpose and that excitement in the journey than by becoming a generous person. It's just a better way to live. Proverbs 11:24 says this in the Message translation. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. I want my world to get larger. So, I said at the beginning that we're about to launch into this, what we call the Steps campaign, where we're going to be raising a whole chunk of money to be able to buy this building and do some amazing things. Where does that sit with this? That's different, okay? So you're cutting out, you're taking your pie. I've got another pie here, one I prepared earlier with the help of Sainsbury's. And you take this pie and you decide, I'm going to give this big chunk to God. I'm so grateful to him for everything he's done, and I'm going to give him this big chunk. There you go. Great big chunk. I'm going to give to him. I feel really good about that. In fact, I'm going to give him that extra bit that fell off the side. And that's what I'm going to give on a regular basis. That's my giving to God. And then we say, but Steps is coming up. I want to be even more generous. So we take some cream and we add something extra to the giving that we've already decided to give. And then we might decide, you know, that feels so good. I'm part of this amazing venture. And we walk into the building, we say, I was part of this. I was part of the ministry that's going on here, and you think, I like this feeling. I like this taking a risk for God. I'm going to put some sprinkles on. I'm going to do a bit of sprinkling because I'm going to put a bit of extra. I'm going to give to the vine for the contact center. And then I think I'm going to give some to Mexico. And then I think I'm going to... I know I'm what I want to do. Ashburnham is a fantastic holiday. I'm going to pay for somebody who can't go. That's the sort of generous person I want to be. Big slice of pie, lots of cream and sprinkles. That's the difference in the way we're thinking about the Steps campaign. So this is not your regular acknowledgement of what God's given to you. This is something extra, something special. Probably something that costs, that is a sacrifice, that feels painful. King David, when he was offered a spiritual opportunity, a place, a building to build an altar, he was given it by the person who owned it. And David says, no, I won't take it free. What good is it giving to God something if it hasn't cost me anything? And he insisted on buying it and paying for it. Now, there's something really exciting that happens. There's several exciting things that happen when we become generous. And I'll talk about that next week. That's the theme for next week. There's some very distinct things that fall out of that lifestyle and that way of living and that way of honoring God. Some incredible things that happen to us and to the church and to our community, and I'll talk about that next week. So, let me conclude. To deal with this first slice of the pie will often mean reorganizing my life and my finances, so that I start with generous giving and then make decisions about the other slices. It may well mean sacrifices, but it also means enlarging your life as a generous giver, becoming more and more like the most generous giver of all. As I've said several times, generosity is one of the main areas in which we wrestle with our faith. But if you will grapple with this, friends, brothers and sisters, if you will grapple with this, if you'll take the risk, and if you'll make the sacrifice because you want to live as a generous giver with an increasing world, as Proverbs said, you will find passion and excitement, and your trust and your faith will grow and deepen. So if that's what you want to happen, this is the way to it. If your faith is boring, give more. In Proverbs 21, verse 26, the Bible says, some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. That's how we're known, if we're godly. We've been given a pie. It's for our enjoyment. This is looking a little sad now with all that stuff on it. We'll give that to the worst behaved kid in Vineyard Kids. That'll send them high. We'll pretend that's a really beautiful piece of pie. And this is everything you've been given. In fact, it's the whole pie, so this doesn't quite work. There you go. Almost the full pie you've been given. Enjoy it. It's for your enjoyment. It's for your sustenance. It's for you to have a good time with it. It's for you to share with your friends. We can do amazing things with the pie that God has given us, but we mustn't forget where it came from. Everything we have comes from him, and as we choose to do with what he has given us, let us look to the giver as well as to the gift. Let us be quick to acknowledge him with everything we have. Let us be quick to be generous. Let us reorganize our lives so that generosity becomes our reputation and our character. Give him the first slice. Make it large. Put some cream on. Put some sprinklers on. And you will see beautiful, transformational results in your life, in the life of this community, in the life of the community in which we live. Amen.